The title of our exhortation is Warfare in Spiritual Places, in Spiritual Realm. And there are two thoughts that we want to consider tonight. Warfare on the knees, verse 1 to 12, and warfare in the heavenlies, verses 12 to 22. Daniel chapter 10 to 12 is the account of Daniel's final vision. He had a glimpse of the conflicts in the unseen world that influenced the geopolitical events in Daniel chapter 10. If you have been reading the news, you would have seen that there is seemingly great chaos around the world, in Russia and Ukraine, between China, Vietnam, the Philippines, Taiwan and Japan, on the Spratly Islands, Pakistan with the internal civil war, Iraq also having its internal war, then in Syria, Nigeria. The world seemed to be aflame with warfare. And these are the scene conflicts that is before us today. But what we are going to see today in Daniel chapter 10 is the unseen conflicts that will culminate in the physical conflicts of this world. So there is that interplay that we want to think and consider. This vision that Daniel would be given would stretch all the way until the great tribulation and the return of Christ. You see how God is going to let him see the future in a glance, with a sweep right to the end of time, and how God is going to name the key rulers of the future that would affect his people, and how God would selectively provide the picture that gives to them an idea of the culmination of the kingdom of Antichrist that would come in chapter 11. And also in Daniel chapter 10, chapter 12, you see a glimpse of Israel at the end of time, before the millennial rule of Christ upon earth. Israel would be in the land, and Israel is special because they are the chosen people of God, and they are destined to play a very important role in geopolitics. And we are seeing the emergence of Israel in the Promised Land over the last 60-70 years, and this is by no means any coincidence, but it is a fulfilling of God's prophecy of Scripture, how Israel will be, how the Israel will be finally, in the culmination of human history, the center of the world. And today you see how in Palestine it is the center of conflict. So now we are going to consider and see how great privilege we have as the people of God, who have the Scripture with us, to understand the truth concerning what the future would be. And you see how Daniel prepared his heart to tarry in prayer and fasting for a prolonged period of time. In all the other visions that God gave to him, he fasted, he prayed, but not in this manner. This was very severe. It lasted 3 full weeks. And so we begin this first thought, warfare on the knees, verses 1 to 12. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. The phrase there at the end of verse 1, but the time appointed was long, is literally translated, and the warfare was great. The phrase time appointed is the Hebrew word zavah, which means to wage war. It speaks of conflict, and the word means an army, and it speaks of war. And it speaks of, in the Bible, it is used to describe armies of men, armies of angels. It speaks about warfare, actual warfare, and here we are speaking about spiritual warfare. We are speaking here of angels, of demons in the heavenlies, and we are speaking about nations. So how the intertwine of all this comes together with Daniel on his knees. The tearing for God's revelation was a great warfare that Daniel fought on his knees. He needed to know the future for his people, and God would reveal to him. So 3 years, we are speaking about a time that is 3 years after Cyrus became king of Persia. This was the time when the Jews have already returned to Palestine. They have returned and they have laid the foundation stone for the second temple. It is given to us in Ezra chapter 3. And you notice also that the first returnees were 42,000 Jews. So Daniel, as a young man, has tarried in Babylon for 70 long years. So now he is no longer a young man. He is a very old man. He could be even in his early 90s now. And look at the number that was returned to Israel with the decree for the return. Only 42,000, led by Zerubbabel. He was of the kingly line. And you notice a very strange background here that we want to bring before you, is that not many Jews returned to the promised land, because there were many Jews who were deported, and over the 70 years they have grown, and history has tell us that they have prospered in the land, and many of them have in that sense uprooted themselves and assimilated themselves to the Babylonian, the Persian culture, and they have been very prosperous, and they might have even forgotten their roots. And so Daniel was greatly burdened in his heart for his people, because his people have forgotten that they are a people of God. They are lost. And so Daniel, in his prayer, he wanted to know, he wanted to seek God's mercy, that God may help him, by whatever truth that may be revealed to him, to encourage the returnees. And so Daniel fasted for 21 days. He did not eat. Well, not that he did not eat anything, but here it is stated that he did not eat any pleasant bread. He simply took what was needful to sustain his body, and he continued in that intercession with God, praying for his people. And Daniel was seeking that God may reveal to him the truth concerning the future. And this came in the 24th day of the first month, that is the Jewish month of Nisan. And we know also that it falls during that time on the Passover. And the Passover for the Jews was a time of celebration after the 7 days of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. It is a time where the Jews are supposed to come together and celebrate. But for Daniel, you see that he did not. He was there, silenced before God, waiting upon God. And it seemed that God did not utter a word to him. Everything was silent. Have you had moments whereby you needed to seek the will of God? You needed to seek the presence of God to know what is the will of God in certain matters, and you sought the Lord and you prayed and you prayed and somehow no answer. How is it so? This was Daniel's experience until the 24th day, and suddenly he said, I was by the side of the river, of the great river Hiddekel. Well, he was transported, as it were, in this vision to the Tigris River, right, which is the two main rivers together with the Euphrates River in the cradle of civilization in Mesopotamia. And all of a sudden, you see how God would speak. And you see, he saw a vision of the pre-incarnate Christ. Verse 5 says, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded, was held together with a fine gold. Also, there was a belt. There was a belt that holds up his garments, and it is of fine gold. And his body also, verse 6 says, was like the beryl. The beryl is a precious stone that is found on the fourth row of the breastplate of the high priest. And in the Song of Solomon, it is used to describe the beauty of the bridegroom. And so as you think about the pre-incarnate Christ, how that Christ is indeed the bridegroom of the church. You see there that picture that is brought before us, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. This is very similar to what John the Apostle would describe in the book of Revelation in verses 13 to 16. You would see a very similar description. Revelation chapter 1 verse 13 says that he saw in the midst of seven candlesticks one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded with a peps and a golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flame of fire. You see the eye, one is like the lamps of fire, one is the flame of fire. You see the voice, one is like a multitude, and one and like many waters, and the feet, one is of polished brass, and one is of fine brass, and how it's clothed with linen, with a gown down to the foot. So there is a similarity here. Right? There are some commentators who said that this is the angel, but we beg to differ. Because there are many other passages of scripture that shows men of God encountering the pre-incarnate Christ, encountering God, and how these visions are very similar. Right? Daniel, in this vision, verse 7, he says, he saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. Well, he was not praying alone. So you see that it was a corporate prayer. Right? They were tearing with God concerning the future for Israel. It was not something that was only burdening his heart. It is a burden that all of Israel, all Israelites would want to know, would want to seek. All who love their own people. And so, we see here he was left alone, and then he saw this great vision, verse 8. And he said that there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. So, as you read this encounter, you realize that it's very similar to the encounter that Isaiah had at the throne room of God, that Joshua had. Remember in Joshua chapter 5, Joshua met the captain of the host of the Lord. This is the pre-incarnate Christ. This is the man who gave him the strategy for conquering Jericho. This was the man who gave him the strategy to conquer the promised land. Right? How Canaan was taken. Well, this was the commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ himself. And he is the one in charge of the invisible angelic army. And he is also the one vested with all authority. And so, when we speak about warfare, it is not out of place that you see Jesus Christ himself there, because he is indeed the foremost captain of the Lord's army. And so that vision was staggering for Daniel. He could not. It caused him to lay completely prostrate in worship. Right, then his verse 9 says, then was I in a deep sleep upon my face, and my face toward the ground. Well, he came in the hallowed presence of God, and how he realized his own corruption. This was also the experience of Isaiah when he was in the throne room of God. Remember, he saw that he was truly very vile. It was the year that King Uzziah died. Remember, Uzziah died because he intruded into the throne room of God. He wanted to offer sacrifice, and God struck him with leprosy. So in the year King Uzziah died, was a reminder for Isaiah the terror of God, how God is such a awesome, awful judge. And for him, he realized that he is a sinner. He realized that he is a man of unclean lips. And so he stood right at the corner without movement, in awe, realizing that he's totally undone before God. And that is the experience of people of God in the sight of God. They are on holy ground, and they felt themselves unholy. A true experience, a correct understanding. And this was what Daniel saw, was experiencing first. Well, in that prayer after 21 days, he saw the vision of the pre-incarnate Christ. Then he was given an understanding about the warfare in the heavenlies, verses 12 to 13 to 22. We see in this portion of scripture spiritual conflicts in the unseen world, and we are given a glimpse into the world of angels and their roles in international affairs. So when we look at international affairs, we look at the main players, right? Who's who and what they are doing. But behind the scene, what the Lord is saying to us is that there is this spiritual forces that is at work, at play, that we cannot see. But the Lord gave us a glimpse of what is happening. And this warfare is not fought, right, in the physical world, but it is fought in the spiritual world, in the heavenly realms. And so that's something that is mind-boggling. But this is what Daniel was given to understand. The delay to Daniel's prayer was due to hindrance from the prince of Persia, this evil angel that presided over the affairs of Persia, causing Daniel to tarry with God with fasting and prayer for a prolonged period. Verse 13 says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, that's Gabriel, the angel, speaking. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, who is Michael? Well, Michael is the angel in charge of the nation of Israel. And here it is described how Michael came and he fought together with Gabriel, right, with the prince of Persia. So there is this warfare that is going on, right, for the interest of Israel, Michael, Gabriel, and you see all Satan and its minions in his organization, in his network of demons, well, seeking to frustrate the plan of God, seeking to thwart the will of God. And you see this, Daniel was given a glimpse of this resistance, this warfare in high places. And so we are told later on in verse 20 also that there is also another angel, a demon, in charge of Greece. So you notice that the nations of the world are ruled, right, by evil forces, as Paul put it in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13. It says these are principalities and powers in high places. And you notice later on when we would describe the vision itself in chapter 11 and chapter 12, that this conflict would take place and this conflict would go on. But if you were to look at Revelation chapter 12, you would be able to catch a glimpse of this warfare that is fought. And I read to you Revelation chapter 12 verse 7. It says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was that place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." So here we are speaking about the warfare, right, in the heavenly places. How all this is taking place, and how Daniel, while he was on his knees praying to know what is happening, well, before he got an answer, right, he was told of the warfare that was going on before him, in the heavenlies. And then we are told how this warfare being worked out, right, in the spiritual realm. And when this warfare is done, then the angel Gabriel came and gave to Daniel the result of the conflict, right? The result of what took place, and Daniel would be instructed, right, from Daniel chapter 11 and 12 concerning the coming Persian Empire and the Grecian Empire. And as we think about this, right, we want to think about Daniel and his burden to pray for his own people. He was concerned for their welfare. He was concerned for their well-being. And his intercession for his people took a toil upon him. Every Wednesday, when we would come to pray for the people that is God's people that are it is in our midst, well, we are indeed advancing God's kingdom on our knees. And God's kingdom is advanced by the saints on their knees. This was the picture that we see in Daniel chapter 10. Not a clearer picture about spiritual conflicts, about things unseen, and how these are interacting with the physical world, and how this interaction between the spiritual and the physical world result in the things that happen around us. And so as we think about these things, we realize that we have no more strength, because we are wrestling not against flesh and blood. We are flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we cannot win this battle. We cannot fight on our own strength. But when we are on our knees, when we are seeking God, then the Lord will fight for us. Our Lord Himself, the Commander-in-Chief of the host of heaven, would come and He would fight. And so Jesus Christ, the head of the church, is the captain of the Lord's army. And He will be the one that leads this warfare. And we would bring before Him our petitions. We would bring before Him the troubles that beset His people. And we lay before Him that He may, by His power, give us the victory. And may God give to us the strength to continue to labor in prayer for God's people. And that the kingdom of God may be advanced in this last of the last days. This morning we were studying Daniel, Genesis chapter 8, how Noah was in the ark for many months, so long that he was almost thinking, what is going to happen with us? We with the animals, the food running out. What are we to do? They were waiting upon God, and there seemed to be no answer until Genesis chapter 8. The Lord says, God remembered Noah. God is faithful. God remembers His people. What is happening in our lives? And so God wants us to realize that we are living in the days of Noah, and the days of Noah prior to the second coming of Christ. And it must cause us to rethink about how we are using our time, what we are doing with our lives, what we are doing with what God has given to us, so that our perspective may be indeed heavenward and in the heavenlies, just like Daniel. Although he was a very established man in the Babylonian kingdom, he did not indulge himself in the luxuries, in the indulgences of the Babylonian kingdom. He wanted no pleasant food, but he was very concerned about God's people. Same with Nehemiah, another man of God. So may the Lord lay that burden in our hearts for His people. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for giving to us Thy word from Daniel chapter 10. Lord, we have a glimpse of warfare in the spiritual realm. God, we cannot understand these things. They are too deep for us. But we realize that we have a chief advocate in our Lord Jesus Christ. the head of the church, the leader and captain of our salvation. And Lord, we want to know also that Thou art our great high priest, who is praying at the right hand of the Father. And Lord, may Thou, Father, may Thou grant to us understanding of our blessed position in Christ Jesus. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.